Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Sean Haney here for another episode of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast on realagriculture.com, brought to you by RBC. Special thanks to them. In this episode, we're going to take a real closer look at financial farm management. We're going to talk to Christian Hebert. Now, Christian travels across Canada speaking to growers about the 5% rule, which, as he says, really comes down to making small incremental changes that lead to much bigger profit. And who doesn't want more profit on their farm? So a lot of it, though, comes down to thinking differently. I'll give you an example that Christian's going to outline. Thinking about your costs on a per bushel instead of per acre. And he'll explain why that's so critically important. I think you're really going to like this episode of Mind Your Farm Business, brought to you by RBC. I started the discussion by asking Christian for a little bit about his background. Enjoy.
We run a crop operation in southeast Saskatchewan at Mooseman or Fairlight Sask, if you want to be real technical. My background's all in business and accounting, so took a commerce degree and did my chartered accountant and put my time in at Myers & Morse Penny and learned a whole bunch from a whole bunch of smart people there, and then came back to farm full-time with my wife and parents.
Well, we're going to talk a lot today about a little bit of revenue, a little bit of costing, and the concept of the 5% rule, and really applying some practical steps to help our audience or assist our audience, enable them to make some better financial management decisions on their farm. Sound like a good idea?
Sounds good to me.
Perfect. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to thank RBC for being the sponsor of the podcast. Thank you to them. Okay, so what is the 5% rule?
So really the 5% rule is just a philosophy of making small logistical changes or small logical changes to your operation that add up to a lot of net profit. So instead of necessarily looking for, you know, as some guys would like to call it, a snake oil or a piece of machinery that's going to be earth-shattering in its differences and add $50 to your bottom line, I would actually argue that there's probably 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 minor changes that we can tweak in order to make 5% changes, which will actually change your bottom line by 117%.
Right. So what does it kind of look like? Because a lot of times we talk about, okay, we're going to add to the bottom line. I think a lot of farmers first jump to cost, right? So I'm going to tighten the screws down, and we're not going to spend any money. We're not going to do things like treat our seed. We're going to buy the cheapest chemical. Maybe we'll save $5 a ton on our fertilizer. That's not really what it's about, though.
No, so I guess the first thing I would recommend to guys is, you know, we all talk cost per acre, dollars per acre, that our break-even is. And it's an important number, but you also have to take in consideration cost per bushel. And the only reason cost per bushel matters is if you tweak the wrong costs, i.e. you don't treat your seed, you don't use a fungicide. If you only look at cost per acre, it'll drop your cost per acre by $10 or $15. But the problem is it actually increases your cost per bushel because you grow less grain. Mm. So that's why cost per bushel is important. Right? Bushel, ton, pound, whatever you produce it. So my argument would be, I'm not a huge fan at all of cutting back on inputs because there's a direct correlation between inputs creating margin. I would say on the input side, it's more of a better philosophy on, you know, right product, right time, right soil. So it's more of a true agronomic approach that you get the package right for your farm.
So the language needs to change. Right, so no different than with from an agronomic example, seeding rate. You know, we're going to seed 2 bushels per acre. Well, we know through math that that's not entirely very accurate, depending on the size of your seed. Why do you think we're still having issues with the language? Your example of cost per bushel versus cost per acre makes total sense. You explained it to me in about 30 seconds. It makes a lot of sense to me. Why are we so slow to change our mentality or the language around judging our costs?
I would say in general people don't necessarily like change, right? You know, and what's the old saying? If it's not broke, you don't fix it. When in matter of fact, if you want to be leading edge, you should probably, you know, maybe reiterate that question in, if it's not broke, you actually just haven't looked hard enough. You know, I just talked to Danny Kleinfelter the other day, and his one thing said to me is, you know, you better be leading edge, because someone in Ukraine just got up 8 hours ahead of you and has been working on it for 8 hours already. Right? You know, and another example they use all the time is if you're a train doing 60 mile an hour on a track, that's fine, but if the train behind you is doing 85, you're still not moving that fast.
Right.
So it's just a matter, you know, I think it's just a reframing of the question. Why do we seed at 2 bushels? Let's, my grandpa seeded at 2 bushels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then let's talk to the right person to make sure that we understand 1,000 kernel weight and that we're targeting 32 plants a square meter, and then, you know, and so then break it down into those steps. To me, is the side of, so let's be honest, a lot of costs are education. Get more educated on 1,000 kernel weight. Get more educated on puts, calls, futures, etc. for your marketing plan. And if you don't want to get educated because it's not something you enjoy, then hire a consultant or join together with 5 other farmers to split a team member that focuses on that.
Managing the cost side of your business can be difficult. The easier one that people tend to focus on is revenue. Well, if I just grow more, I've got more revenue. It's not that simple. The reality is what I think we see a lot is that, well, you know, people will try to save $2 a ton on fertilizer, but then they'll spend $50 an acre on some piece of snake oil that came in a drum from China.
Yep.
Why is that? Why do we have such a trouble with revenue?
Well, I think, you know, revenue is obviously highly affected by our management plan when it comes to our inputs, right? But I would say one thing we don't necessarily do a great job is making sure that our agronomic plan is a solid plan. You can't just keep throwing nitrogen at a crop and expect more revenue. It has to be the right package, right? So, you know, I think there's lots of good agronomic consultants out there. Guys can get more education on it. But say, for instance, on our farm, you know, we grid soil sample every 4 acres. And then we'll tissue sample at that same spot to know what we did in the spring with our fertilization package, how is that coming into the plant, and what do we need to give that plant when our sprayer goes over it that we can tweak it. So it's kind of like the theory of chemtrition. If my sprayer is going to go over the field anyway to kill weeds, why aren't we giving something to help the crop at the same time? Because we're going over it. So there's, you know, I think there's little tweaks. And I mean, you know, I really enjoy talking to guys that are what we'd call outside the box or throwing curveballs at agriculture, because you don't know what? Lots of the good ideas come from those guys. Mm-hmm. So I spend lots of time talking to some aggressive U.S. farmers or aggressive guys from the Ukraine or, you know, guys from Australia, different parts of Canada. And, you know, I think that's where the fun and the exchange of information is a good way to pick up ideas too. But, say in agriculture, we like to say that, well, we're so affected by Mother Nature. Like, all these things are plain and simple. We can make budgets. But it doesn't matter because of Mother Nature.
Like, we're victims.
Yeah, we're victims. Yeah. Do you think a guy that owns 10 resorts in Mexico has a problem with Mother Nature?
Of course he does.
Do you think the owner of Subway, you know, in Lethbridge when the oil boom was big, had troubles with HR?
Yep.
Yeah. So why are we? We're not victims. We're the same as every other business. Our biggest issue is that we only get to turn our inventory once a year. We get to grow a crop once. Walmart turns 365 times a year. So we make a better margin than Walmart, but we only get to do it once. They make a little tiny margin. They do it 365 times, but they also get to learn 365 times.
Yeah, so if we make a mistake, it can have a greater impact on the next 3 years as opposed to you have a bad day, but we can turn these sales around.
Yep.
Right? So that is the one difference, but a very good analogy.
So hence why it should be fairly important to us to always get better. Because in your career, you only get about 35 to 50 chances to get better.
Yeah.
You know, and then you add on the next generation. So at some point in time, if a farm decides to coast for 10 years, if this is a multi-generational farm, you only get 100 chances to learn, and you just took 10 off.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's other businesses that are learning every day. We have competitors around the world that are growing 2-3 crops a year.
Yeah, Brazil was.
They're learning more than we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just it has to be a mentality within your organization that you want to get better, right? It's a continual learning organization in that the whole team's goal should be to find out who's doing it better than you, how they're doing it, and how do we implement it.
So when we think about financial management, we talked about cost, we talked about revenue. We typically, though, have strategies that are sort of solo, right? So we focus on one component. The whole farm financial management strategy can be disjointed. What are some practical ways, or how do we enable So it becomes more a way of everyday life on the farm, that we sort of make a cohesive strategy to make the farm successful in the long run.
I think one of the biggest things we can start doing is budgets. So, well, let's take two steps back. The number one thing we have to start doing is accrual financial statements. And I don't just mean statements by your accountant. Your internal accounting system should be run on an accrual basis, because if it's not accrual, you don't actually know anything about your costs. So step one, accrual. Step two, we should copy the rest of industry in that we should create an annual budget sometime in January. And then we should maybe check that budget at least quarterly. Like, here's where we are today. Here's where we thought we'd be with our budget. And I'm not saying you can fix everything, but so then where's our variances and why was I wrong?
So why is it important, though, to look at it every once a quarter? Because a lot of farmers are going to say, well, that doesn't matter because, well, I don't know, why wouldn't I just check it after harvest? Because that's when I know what crop I had.
I guess my theory is if a goal is just a wish if it's not wrote down. So are we wishing to improve our costs, or are we actually going to make it a goal and improve them? Mm-hmm. You know, so one thing we really like to focus on in our farm is what we call labor, power, and machinery. It's the biggest cost that we have control over as farms, right? You know, our revenue can be quite affected by Mother Nature. Labor, power, and machinery is your ability to get the job done of farming. So however you cost your equipment, whether you own it, lease it, or custom work, how you pay your people, your fuel, like the main repairs and maintenance are another big one, the main cost to get the job done. So we're actually breaking our repairs and maintenance budget down to by the implement and looking at it year over year. And it gets reviewed, it's going to get reviewed monthly. Because one thing we think we can do is reduce our repairs and maintenance from everything like when we pick up the part we don't need, why doesn't it get returned right away instead of put on the shelf, to a better maintenance program, to maybe we figure out the right hour to trade things off compared to just there's a good deal today at the dealership, right? So little things. But if we can drop our repairs and maintenance $3 or $4 an acre, that's $50,000. Every time you make a $50,000 change, they start to add up pretty quick.
For many farms of any size. So right, people are listening to this and they're going to say, whoa, I don't have time to do that. What do you say to them?
Make time. Make it one of the goals that's the top priorities for the farm. So do you have time to go to the coffee shop to talk about what happened yesterday at the elevator? Make time. Do you have time to sweep your shop? And this is an internal joke.
Yeah.
Our farm, we have a farm advisory board, and one of our advisors, that was the first question he asked of our first meeting, said to my dad and I, how many times you guys swept your shop this year? He said, I don't know, 20, 15, something like that. Looked us in the face and said, do you enjoy starving high school kids? Right? Because you could probably hire the same kid that works at Subway to come sweep your shop once a week, pay him $12 an hour. Is it worth your time at $12 an hour to sweep the shop? Or should you be creating a budget and figuring out where you can fix your finances? So that's what I mean by make time. It just has to be a priority.
The man, it goes, I think, right away of the working on your business instead of working in the business on an everyday basis.
Yep. And it's hard for us as growers, right? Because most of our strengths is growing a crop. We love the agronomics. That's what we love. And this switch of turning from an operator into a manager, into a leader, it's a hard switch for anybody, let alone someone that the technical personalities of farmers is usually a hands-on, dirt on my fingernails type of person. And so that switch is hard. I won't take that away from anybody. However, if the goal is for your farm to be a multi-generational legacy, you have no choice. Like, inflation's 3% a year, so if you're not growing 3%, you're dying. And I'm not saying picking up 3% acres. Maybe you're growing your revenue by 3% or your net worth, personal net worth by 3%. But if you're not growing at the speed of inflation, you're losing, right?
So was your farm always like this? Did you grow up on the farm where this was kind of always a part of the culture? Or is this something that you and your family have had to work on?
Oh, it's something we have to work on every day, right? We were, obviously, as I brought in my accounting background, we got a lot more focused on budgets and costs. However, my parents have always been focused on maybe that fine line between perfection and logistics, and have always had written down goals. And so, no, it, like the culture was there, and we just tweak it and make changes all the time.
Hmm. So is that really the first step for any of our listeners is write it down? Is that really the simplest essence of what we're talking about is that's where you start. Pull out a pencil.
Yeah, I'd recommend write it down, and even better, write down in the next 4 quarters what your goal is to attain from that perspective in each quarter. So you're not going to change the world in 1 year, but maybe in the first quarter you want to analyze your repairs and maintenance. And maybe in the second quarter you want to have your budget done by June, even though that's too late, but at least it's done and it's started, right? And maybe in the third quarter you want to take a course on puts and calls and futures for your marketing strategy. And maybe in the fourth quarter you want to meet with your accountant on how we're going to do this better next year.
See, this is leading to one of the challenges here. And it's very similar when we talk about farm succession, which we did in season one of Mind Your Farm Business. It's because we only turn a crop once, right? What happens is when we think about these things, is it always is about after seeding we'll start. After harvest, you know, this is all good. Hey, Christian, this is genius stuff. But after harvest, then I'll have some time and then I'll get to work on it. Because we turn that once, it leads us to come up with reasons we can't start today. Is that true?
Agreed. So the other thing I think you should write down right when you write down your goal of what you're going to do here, write down all your lists, like write down everything that needs to get done this quarter. And then circle the ones that are important and square the ones that just make you busy. And what I mean by that is we do a horrible job, me included, of getting drug into busy versus doing what's important. So
I'm the king of busy.
Right? If we got 4 trucks loading in our yard and I already have 4 guys out there standing beside the auger, I still want to get up out of my office chair and walk out and help. I am not needed at all. I should be working on our budget. But we automatically get drawn to go be busy. Because in our mind, if we're sitting at our desk and working on a budget and looking at stuff like that, that's not busy. But however, it's probably one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. So I would say we want to get our list of things to do and get the important stuff circled. That's what we want to put on our quarterly, you know, process of what we want to accomplish.
Yeah. Christian, it's been great to talk to you today. Look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Wow, a lot of information in this episode of Mind Your Farm Business. You know, I really think to sum it up, it comes down to the fact that hope is not a plan. A plan is something that is written down. Wishing and hoping are just exactly that. Another key factor is something that I'm sure you've heard before. I know I have to remind myself probably every day. Sometimes you got to work on your business, not necessarily in it. And Christian really gave some great examples of why that's so critically important. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Mind Your Farm Business, and we'll talk to you again next time.